We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
26 degrees, fog and mist. Wind out of the south at 8 on your 50,000-watt boomstick. WCCO, it's 7:08. Eric Nelson with you. The LP edition of A Sports Saturday going until 8 o'clock tonight before we hand it off to the Wolves cast, then the Timberwolves pregame show, and then later on Minnesota and Portland from Oregon. NBA action right here on your flagship home for T-Wolves basketball. J-Lo Jonathan Lowe is our studio coordinator, and in the newsroom, Edgar Linares. He's so good, I simply call him Cronkite. Well, the Minnesota Vikings will be playing on Monday night. They will be in Seattle taking on the Seahawks in a game that has plenty of NFC playoff repercussions. The Vikings are 6-5-1, Seattle 7-5. Both these teams, at the minimum, want a wild card spot, and that's really the only path to the playoffs for Seattle. They're four back of the LA Rams in the NFC West. As for Minnesota, winning the NFC North is still not out of the question, but certainly a wild card seems more realistic at this point in time. And joining us now is our good friend Matthew Hatchett, former Vikings wideout. Matt, always good to have you on the airwaves. And I know you, like everybody else, going to be paying close attention to this game Monday night up in Seattle.
Yeah. I mean, you know, with the Bears game tomorrow night versus the Rams, of course, they'll know who wins or loses that game. If the Bears win that game tomorrow, then, you know, it's really looking like a wild card berth at best, you know, for the Minnesota Vikings at that point.
Yeah, and it's funny because it really can go two ways. When you're talking about L.A. Rams' best record in the NFL at Chicago, certainly you can spin a case where the Rams win it. And if they do, and Minnesota were to get a victory in Seattle, the Vikings would only be a half game behind the Bears. And remember, they finished the regular season here in Minneapolis against Chicago.
Exactly. So I don't think, like I said, when they know who's going to win that game, then I think they'll approach the game on Monday. Like, okay, look, we can still go get this conference championship. So, you know, that keeps them alive. And for the Bears' point of view, they kind of know the same thing. Like, if they don't win that game tomorrow, I don't think they're scared of the Rams coming in there. You know, one of the better defenses in the league. And they've been playing great and only getting better. And they'll get their starting quarterback tomorrow as well.
You played a few years in the NFL with Minnesota and some other teams. When you had a Monday night game, what was that like? Did you travel on Sunday to get there? Normally, I know teams will leave on Saturday. And did you sit around the hotel and watch games? How did it work?
Well, in Minnesota, you're kind of in the middle. So you can pretty much, we don't have those coast-to-coast games. If you play in New York and you have to travel out to the West Coast, then you leave maybe 2 or 3 days early for a Monday night game. But being in Minnesota, we'd always leave the day before, you know, so it'd be like a Saturday trip, except it's on Sunday. And then once we get to the hotel, like I said, we might have brought our video games. Me and Moss might sit in the room, play some PlayStation, you know, back in the day or something like that, play some video games and watch NFL games. But, yeah, it's a long day on Monday. Sunday's not as bad, but Monday, like you wake up, you have your meetings in the morning, but after that you're just sitting around saying like, hurry up, get here, let me get to the stadium, and kind of, you know, trying to get to the game.
It can be a long wait, and I know some players I've talked to, Matthew, will tell me, hey, look, I don't pay attention to the other guys, I'm just focused on our game, you know, my role with my team. But certainly the Vikings are going to know if the Rams beat the Bears tomorrow night.
Yeah,
that's the primetime game, and you're going to gain 2 hours in time going from the Central time zone to the Pacific time zone, so sleep's not an issue.
Right. So, yes, usually the coaches will kind of keep you on the same clock, or, you know, so they'll adjust their clock according to, like, when you guys wake up, when you have breakfast, when you have walkthrough, things of that sort. But, yeah, you're going to hear about the game today, social media and stuff like that, and you're going to talk on the phone at least, you know, the five different people within those 24 hours, so they're going to say, you know, who won the game. So you're definitely going to hear about it. Now, will it, you know, it's not going to waver, you know, oh, I'm going to play harder now, nothing like that, but it's just going to be in the back of your mindset.
All right, last week in Foxborough, Minnesota and New England were tied at 10-10 in the third quarter, and then the Patriots gashed the Vikings for an easy touchdown drive and got another one, and they win it 24-10. What were your takeaways from that game? Because at one point, Minnesota was right there.
Yeah, I mean, like, Minnesota played a great game. You're playing one of the better teams, you know, in the NFL, as everybody knows. And I think the Patriots are probably, you know, in my opinion, the favorite to go to the Super Bowl. So, you know, it was just the timing of when they had the New England Patriots on their schedule. It's like if they would have had them in September when the Patriots are always trying to figure things out and the Vikings get a win, you know, okay, yeah, not a big deal. But it's hard to beat that Patriot team, you know, late in the year and in December. It's just always been like that, and it's going to continue to be like that. So I don't think that the, you know, Vikings just feel bad, but at the same time, they got to get some wins because now it's kind of playoff time.
Yeah, I was in Foxborough, and that mystique really is real. You see the five Super Bowl banners at Gillette Stadium and Tom Brady, 41 going on 31, and the legendary Bill Belichick pacing the sidelines. It really is amazing, Matthew, what they've done. And for Brady, it's always parts that are changing. I mean, now it's Josh Gordon that they're propping up. So it's always somebody new, but they seem to just keep on going without skipping a beat.
Well, yeah, it's the system. I mean, you know, New England, they found what they do well. Like I said, they're going to get some guys who might be motivated, you know, more than they were earlier in their career. They might have had some misfortune through injuries or just through anything that they've left their own team, and now they kind of get that second chance and they come in with a good attitude. And for the most part, I mean, it's really like that around the league. It's just most of the time you don't really have they're not going to winning teams. You know, those same guys go to the Bengals, they go to the Raiders, but okay, those teams are 2-8, so you don't hear about their career. You don't hear that they might have revamped their career, but when it's New England, you got that number 12 back there, so you're always playing for playoffs and you're always playing for championships. Therefore, people know about your career a little bit longer.
Matthew Hatchett, our guest here on a Sports Saturday on CCO, former Vikings wideout. And with number 12, Tom Brady, there's that instant street cred, Matt. And look, Josh Gordon, you know, he's like yourself, a wide receiver, immense talent, certainly had success in Cleveland, but he had off-the-field issues. Now he's gone to New England, and it's almost like, hey, he's figured out that if I can't make it work here, it may not work.
Oh, absolutely. And again, I think he understands this is his last time, his last chance to, you know, maybe get that big contract. He might not get it from New England, but he knows if he plays well enough, he'll get it from another team. And I definitely think he understands, like, look, if he leaves here, no ring, you know, didn't play well and gets released in the offseason, you might be able to get picked up. It's really, you know, but they're kind of giving you your last chance and they're putting it out there. So, we're giving you a shot right here. There's no excuses unless you don't want to study. You want to be lazy. You don't want to show up on time, do those things. You won't be on the field. And of course, that'll show in his play. But so far, it's been a great piece, a great pickup for, you know, New England, been a great piece for him, it looks like. And of course, now he's just now getting into his midseason shape. I mean, what is going on, his fifth game this weekend? Like, that's not a lot, but he's now starting to hit his groove, and he's going to start hitting the groove with Tom Brady as well. As you'll be able to see that within the next couple weeks.
Kirk Cousins through 12 games. What have been your takeaways? The numbers are pretty good statistically when you look at what he's done. 23 touchdown passes, 9 picks, 3,490 yards, but doesn't have that signature win yet. Certainly not a primetime quarterback if you go on the 0-6 Monday night record, 1-5 on Thursday nights, going back to Washington. Right. But where do you lie in this Kirk Cousins debate?
Well, I think I said this earlier in the season. I go, nothing matters except the playoff game, maybe championship. I'll even give him the divisional playoff game, let's say, and you're down by 2, down by 4 with a minute 30. Can you go get us that touchdown and or that field goal? That's the only thing missing. If you can't do that, then the decision was wrong, and we should have kept Case Keenum. Because right now, the first time I got to look at, okay, is it going to be worth it or not, was that Rams game. I think they were down by 6 or 7, and Vikings got the ball with 2 minutes left, and we didn't go down and tie the game up. That's, to me, the reason you pay somebody that amount of money. It's not what to put up stats, not to throw 35 touchdowns, but that's going to happen because it's the NFL. I can find a bunch of quarterbacks to go put up numbers. Can you win signature games? Can you beat, you know, the upcoming team, the new teams, the old teams? Can you beat Tom Brady in Foxborough? Can you beat the Rams on the road? That's why you pay somebody that amount of money. If you're not doing that, then you have to second guess yourself. Like, I could have, we had the same team. We could have kept the same team, saved that money, and been right here where we were last year at this 6-5-1. We could have did this with Case Keenum. That's what it looks like.
Yeah, no, I think it's a valid point. And, oh, by the way, in that L.A. Rams game, Kirk Cousins, you know, had the Vikings on the move near midfield, but he fumbled. And the Rams recovered, and it was game, set, and match. And so you look at Case Keenum and Kirk Cousins right now. So Case Keenum, CK, they're 6-6. He's got some big wins. They're on a winning streak of three. They've knocked off the Pittsburgh Steelers and the L.A. Chargers in that winning streak. Then you look at KC, Kirk Cousins, 6-5-1, but he doesn't have that splash victory. So I think you make a very good point.
Yeah, I mean, and it all comes back to we're not saying that. Oh, the argument cannot be Case is better than Kirk Cousins. That's not the argument. The argument is he was fitting in perfectly, and since you moved that piece, you have to upgrade. You can't downgrade. And all of a sudden, you're also going to give him 30% of our team's salary cap. You don't want to be, you know, well, maybe, and it kind of teeters. Yes, no, you want to be for sure. Yes, this was an upgrade, you know, and it's not looking like a major upgrade. Now, then you're going into next year. So if you don't even make the playoffs this year, or if you go 1-done, and then next year comes along, you're in the middle of the season, and it looks like you're going to be the 6-6 team or 8-8 and all that. Now you really have to second guess yourself, because again, unless you made that jump, and the only jump is to go to the Super Bowl, and that's the jump. So you only pay that money if you're going to make the jump. Else you keep that money and you continue to pay other players on your roster.
Yeah. They gave him the keys to Fort Knox, and right now they're not getting a lot of bang for their buck, but the season's not done yet. We'll see how it plays out. A lot of people, including Mike Zimmer, wondering why Minnesota got away from the run last week in New England. Dalvin Cook had some chunk gains. They were moving the ball, but they didn't commit to the running game. And I think from my standpoint, Matthew, is you have to commit to it. You have to stick with it.
I mean, they can take my resume as an offensive coordinator. I'll put it up against anybody. You know, I think that's the only reason they didn't continue to run the ball. I don't understand it. I don't like going into halftime looking at these quarterbacks, and they've already thrown the ball, let's say, 30 times at halftime.
And you're a wide receiver saying
and
that.
I love throwing the ball. But again, it's until you see a national championship game on college football and or the Super Bowl of the team that throws it that much and wins the game, it's not going to change. Everybody wants to do it because it's regular season and doesn't matter. But comes playoff time, you're not going out there and throwing the ball 70 times and winning big games. It's just not going to happen. And I thought the whole thing with the spread offense changed when Oregon got on the scene and they were going to all these national championship games, and they couldn't beat who? Alabama, who kept running it down their throat, playing defense and playing physical ball. So you take it to the next level, the Super Bowl, and all the same thing. It's like, yes, the losing team always has 55, 60 throws, you know, and Tom Brady throws for 700 yards. But Tom Brady rather had ran the ball, I'm sure, 35 times and thrown for 200 yards and get the ring last year rather than setting that record and throwing for all those yards. I get it. And it looks good, but if it doesn't win the game, then what are we doing? And it's about winning the game, especially when you're talking about playing big games and championship games and cold weather games. That's when it's going to show up. It's not going to show up week four because you put up 480 yards throwing. It doesn't matter then. That doesn't move the needle.
I think sometimes NFL Nation forgets this isn't fantasy football. This is real football, and it's about winning and losing. And you do whatever you have to do to get a victory. What was your reaction, Matthew, when Green Bay lets go of Mike McCarthy? He's got a Super Bowl ring, 125 wins, 77 losses, two ties in 13 seasons, a lot of postseason trips. Your reaction to that move?
I think they've been having this conversation at least over the last month, you know, and Mike, you got to get us some wins. You know, we can do it at the end of the season, but if it's going to continue to look like this, then we're going to have to make a move. And I think Mike understood that. I think Mike kind of knew this thing had ran its course with him and Aaron Rodgers' relationship, good or bad or indifferent. It was kind of just time. And from the Packers organization, I have to look and get ready for next year. And I have to find the best coach out there. And I can't do that if I'm going to be in late January looking for the coach. You just can't. You know, there's the college coaches, like, so you can interview them now. You can start pillaging pretty much NFL coordinators. You can do all that stuff now. If you still had McCarthy on staff, you can't do all that. So I think that's all they're doing. It's a business. I don't think Mike, you know, oh, this is the worst thing that ever happened to me. I think he'll coach again, maybe as early as next year. He looks like he might be doing the Andy Reid thing. You know, he'll go somewhere and have some success. But I don't think from a organizational part that they did the wrong thing. And from the players and coaches' point of view and media point of view, oh, my gosh, what are the Packers doing? They're doing what's best for the Green Bay Packers. That's what every organization does. And I don't understand why it's always a shock, because that's what they're going to do 100 out of 100 times, do what's best for the whole organization, not just for one person or player.
The Dallas Cowboys have won 4 straight games. They're on top of the NFC East. They play Philadelphia tomorrow, a huge one at Arlington, Texas. Are you drinking the blue Kool-Aid? Do you buy into the star?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. It's December. Yeah, no, when's the last time they went 4-0 or 3-1 in December? It's been 20 years. So if they can do that in December, they might be able to get a playoff win. You know, that's as far as it'll go. I don't even think they'll end up winning the conference, and I don't think they'll end up going to the playoffs, because it's December, and they've just shown that in December they don't finish. They don't finish the season, and bad things happen at the end of the season. So, you know, I'm not a believer as of now. So we'll see. Like I said, this week is going to be a big game for them. Same for the Eagles, right? Whoever wins is going to be in first place, and there's still got 3 games left. So there's a lot of December left, and we'll see where it goes.
Matthew Hatchett, our guest here on a WCCO Sports Saturday, former Vikings wideout. You're now a prep football coach in Long Beach, which is just south of Los Angeles. What's the vibe like now in the City of Angels? Because just a few years ago, there were no football teams in Los Angeles. Now right. You have the Chargers, who are 9-3, big win at Pittsburgh last week. The LA Rams have the top record in the NFL at 11-1. Is Los Angeles finally back to being a football city?
Definitely not back. It's on its way, you know, but it's definitely not back yet. You know, it was week 2 or week 3 this year, the Rams weren't even selling out yet, you know? So there's just so much more thing to do out here. Their fan base, you still got the 12-year-olds that like don't know who the Rams are and, oh, they came from where? And I thought it was the Raiders, you know, they don't even know how they got here type of deal. So, you know, once you build, you know, got the kids when they're, you know, 6-7 years old, and then 5 years later, they're 13, 14 years old. That's your true fan base. But right now, you got a couple. Yeah, I like the Chargers and I like this guy, but they're not diehard fans that they're gonna be in like all these other cities. But they're on their way. And of course, winning cures all that. In LA, if you win, then they're gonna love you. So you have to win, and you can't be in the playoffs, and you can't, you know, get bounced in the playoffs. You got to go finish it.
Yeah, win and win with style and flair.
Absolutely.
That's the LA way. Final thought, Matt. The top team right now in the AFC is Kansas City. Chiefs are 10-2. They'll play Baltimore tomorrow at Arrowhead. Mm-hmm. Can they continue to have success minus Kareem Hunt?
They'll have some success, but it's the same thing, right? If you're going, they're going to play the Chargers and or the Patriots or both during the playoffs. So if there's 2 minutes left in the game, are you going to put your money on Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes, right? If there's 2 minutes left in the game, you're going to put your money on Phillip Rivers or Patrick Mahomes. That's just the reality of playoff football and NFL football. Like, yeah, we love Mahomes. He's doing his thing. Could be a future superstar. But as of right now, I'm going with Tom Brady and Phillip Rivers to be the best two teams in the AFC.
So let's get this straight. Patrick Mahomes, despite the fact he's got 41 touchdown passes, almost 4,000 yards passing, you're not buying in yet in a signature game, AFC title game, et cetera.
No. Give me Brady all day. Give me Phillips all day. I know how it feels to be the number one offense in the NFL and not go to the Super Bowl. So, you know, it's like the numbers are great, you know, but I want to win. I want to win at the end of the day. I want that championship at the end of the day. I want to get to the bowl at the end of the day. And if you're talking about getting there, you're talking about Belichick, you know, they're going to put something. We're not going to let Patrick Mahomes do what he does well. It's just not going to happen in playoff football.
All right, I'm going to let you go, but real quickly, Vikings, Seahawks, who does Matthew Hatchett pick on Monday night?
Oh, the Vikings will get this win. They'll get this win, and they'll still be a half game behind Chicago. So I think Chicago's going to beat the Rams as well, and so it'll make it interesting for weeks 14 through 17.
All right, great stuff. Talk to you soon, Matt.
All right, thanks, brother.
Peace. All right, Matthew Hatchett, we have him on often, former Minnesota Vikings wideout. Good friends with Randy Moss, who was just put into the Ring of Honor a few weeks ago here in Minneapolis. It's 727 on WCCO. Sports Saturday, the LP edition. Eric Nelson with you until 8 o'clock. Then it's the weekly Wolves cast. Then the pregame show with John Folkey. And then tip-off from the Pacific Northwest, Alan Horton with the Word's Eye View. Minnesota and Portland, big game in that NBA Western Conference race. And it's a scrum. I love it. Finally, a little parity in the NBA. I mean, it's a very predictable league. I think we all know that. And at the end of the day, when you boil it all down, Golden State will probably three-peat. But for now, in the West, we have some legitimate NHL/MLB/NFL-type parity. Your number one seed, Denver, and your number 14 seed, Houston, and everybody in between, separated by six games. A little basketball gridlock. The only team not in the chase, Phoenix. So a lot of folks in the mix. Meanwhile, in the East, it's not quite so tight. The top seed is Toronto, and your number eight seed right now, Orlando, already 8.5 games off the mark. So, but the West is bunched up. So it's a big one tonight for the Timberwolves against the Trailblazers in Portland. By the way, Minnesota Wild are off tonight. They limp back home. Things were not good in Western Canada. Now, they did get a win in Vancouver, but they were shut out Thursday night by Calgary 2-0. Mike Smith stopped 31 shots to get his second shutout of the season, number 38 in his career. Elias Lindholm had both goals for the Flames. And then last night, how about this? Edmonton gets a touchdown. Oilers 7, Minnesota 2. Leon Draisaitl scored twice for the Oilers. Connor McDavid, the young phenom, had a goal and three assists. Cam Talbot, 31 saves. Edmonton has now won 5 of 6. How about the coaching change out there in Alberta? Ken Hitchcock came in for Todd McClellan, and they are playing some solid hockey. The Oilers are 6-2-1 since Hitchcock took over. The Wild, meanwhile, have lost 5 of their last 6 games. And Devin Dubnyk's got to snap out of this funk. He was replaced last night by Alex Stalock during the game. They're going to need Dubnyk to play much better, the Wild, if they're going to try to hang around in the Western Conference playoff chase in the NHL. Next up for Minnesota, Montreal, the Canadiens, Les Habitants, make their only appearance in St. Paul this season. That'll be on Tuesday night. The Canadiens, 33 points, Minnesota 32 on the season. When we come back, we'll go over the NFL schedule for tomorrow and Monday, and also talk a little baseball. Some news we can drop in about MLB. It's 7:34 here on CCO. A rare Jimmy Erickson sighting on a Saturday night here in the spacious and luxurious WCCO studios.
What's up, E? How are you?
How you doing, brother?
Happy holidays to you and your family.
Same to you. You look great.
Awesome to see you.
Yeah, good to see you.
We've got a little Travis Scott engagement down the road here.
You and the daughter, right?
Yeah, the daughter. So we got to get in the building.
And you're trying to figure out flash seats, right?
Yeah, it's my first try with these things. So it's a great system, and I'm glad the Timberwolves are using it, but it's my first go around here. So
it does take a little getting used to. My kid has figured it out a lot quicker than me.
Yeah.
But that's how it goes these days, right?
Hey, you can buy them, you can sell them. It's like, okay, now I get it a little bit here. So I can't wait for the next big show.
All right, so tonight should be fun for you.
Yeah, and a little Christmas get-together for some friends, so... Big full night tomorrow, feet up, TV on, fantasy football playoff implications with two of the people in the room here.
Yeah, you and J-Lo.
Yes.
It was a little icy when you came in. I sense kind of a rivalry.
No, there's no iciness here. There's no iciness here because we're not facing each other this week. So if we advance
but
on
you're
in
chasing
the playoffs,
the same prize.
Yes, this is true. And that's money.
Yeah, I was going to say.
That is always money.
Straight cash, homie.
That's right.
Well, have a good time, Jimmy E. Always good to see you.
Hey, great to see you and continue the great show. Let's go Wolves tonight. Come on now. Let's get a win.
Yeah, very good. They're out in Portland. We'll have it right here on CCO. By the way, I don't want to really pour salt in an open wound, but we have some volleyball updates. And, of course, Minnesota Gopher fans still trying to get over the team losing last night to Oregon and not getting to the NCAA Final Four, which is at Target Center where Jimmy Erickson will be tonight. So Nebraska bounces Oregon today. Get ready for Husker Nation. They will be invading the Twin Cities next week. Illinois will be here. The Illini knock off the Wisconsin Badgers. And there's a chance Penn State could be here. Two of the Final Four teams will be from the Big Ten, maybe a third. That's going to sting for Gopher fans.
Well, it's not just that two of those teams will be here. The Big Ten is guaranteed one spot in the national championship match next Saturday because Nebraska and Illinois will face each other. So one of those two programs, and Nebraska being the defending champion, they will be in the national championship next week. Penn State has a chance to make it, like you said, 3 out of 4. BYU and Texas are playing right now. It's in the second set out in Provo, Utah, and BYU up 1-0. But it's got to be really, really difficult for Gopher fans to think they could have gone basically 5 miles in their combined NCAA tournament march to a championship between Dinky Town and Target Center, and to not even get the chance to go, it's got to be disappointing. Very, very disappointing.
Oh, absolutely. Crushing. They would not have had to leave the 6-1-2. It all would have been right here in Minneapolis.
They wouldn't have had to have left the circle, the inner circle of 694 and 494.
No, they right here. I mean, Twin Cities will be the epicenter of college volleyball next week. The Gophers on the sidelines. That's a bummer if you're a Gopher volleyball fan, no doubt about that. Major League Baseball, winter meetings start tomorrow in Las Vegas. I'll tell you what, I love owners and GMs and coaches of major sports leagues. They know where to have their winter meetings. It's either Vegas, San Diego, Orlando, Miami. When was the last time you heard about the winter meetings being in Detroit or Minneapolis or Boston, if you know what I mean? Speaking of Boston, I was there last week, went to the Vikings-Patriots game at Gillette. Actually had a chance on Monday to take a marvelous trip up U.S. Highway 1 out of Boston through New Hampshire into Maine. And if you haven't ever been to Maine, I recommend going. When they talk about the rocky coast of Maine, that is exactly what it is. Some spectacular views. Finally got to Kennebunkport, and the timing of it was very poignant because with the passing of POTUS 41, George H.W. Bush, and, of course, his compound in Kennebunkport, there was a tribute there, and I saw the compound, and it juts out into the Atlantic. Just a spectacular setting. But Maine, a very cool state, and the proximity to Boston, it's just not that far away. So if you have a future trip to New England, I would recommend driving into Maine. I also took the Fenway Park tour. I've been to the ballpark to see some games, but this was an actual tour. And, in fact, they were cleaning up the field. They had just played the Harvard-Yale game there recently at Fenway. Fenway, once upon a time, the home of the Boston Patriots. And I did learn that at Fenway Park, they have a rooftop garden called Fenway Farms. This was launched in 2015 and provides Red Sox fans with fresh, organically grown fruit and vegetables. By the way, I also learned that between 1903 and 1918, Boston won 5 World Series titles. So that's 5 in 15 seasons. And then, as most of us know, they went 86 years before winning another Fall Classic. That would be 2004. Now, how about this? If the Red Sox win the championship next year, win the World Series, that would be 5 titles in a 15-year span. Eerily similar to what we saw in the early 1900s. and Red Sox Nation, which has nothing to be skeptical about, but that seems to be in their DNA, they probably think it would be the sign of another epic drought. The 5-15. Anyways, good stuff in Boston, Mass. All right, it is going to be a lot of fun tomorrow. We are into December, and there's nothing like football in December. They call it the dash for cash. That's right. It will be an NFL Sunday across the USA, and we'll get you caught up on the games tomorrow. New York Jets are at Buffalo, a couple of posers out of the AFC East. Jets are 3-9. The Bills are 4-8. This is a game Viking fans are going to want to pay attention to. Carolina at Cleveland. Panthers have lost 4 in a row. They are in the wild card chase just behind Minnesota. But the Brownies are no longer a pushover. Cleveland 4-7-1. So Viking fans will clearly be pulling for the Browns tomorrow on the shores of Lake Erie. A game that at the beginning of the year looked attractive, now it's a dog. Atlanta, 4-8 at Green Bay, 4-7-1. Joe Philbin, the interim coach, will make his debut for the Packers, who got rid of Mike McCarthy after last week's loss on the tundra to Arizona. J-Lo's going to be focused on this game. Baltimore, 7-5. Never count out the Ravens. John Harbaugh, he always has his team in the chase in December. They're going to go down to Arrowhead, my favorite NFL venue, and take on the Chiefs, who are 10-2 and a perfect 5-0 at Arrowhead. The New England Patriots will try to wrap up the AFC East one more time. They are in Miami to face the Dolphins. Patriots 9-3. Dolphins 6-6. But as you told me earlier in the week, J-Lo, Tom Brady does have the occasional hiccup in South Florida. It's a little bit of his kryptonite.
It is something to watch out for. He is 1-4, from what I've been told, in Miami, I believe in December, when they play in December. So watch out for that game.
All right, New Orleans is at Tampa Bay. The Saints are 10-2. They need to keep winning as they try to somehow get the top seed away from the Rams. Tampa Bay 6-7, on the cusp of the NFC playoff picture. New York Giants are at Washington. The Giants are 4-8. Washington 6-6. Things are going south quickly for Washington. Some just gruesome injuries to Alex Smith and Colt McCoy. Mark Sanchez, now the guy in Washington. Indianapolis Colts are 6-6. They travel to Houston to take on the Texans, who are 9-3. The Houston Texans have won 9 straight. I still don't think they're getting enough attention for this winning streak. Are they for real? We'll see. But they're in the conversation for a 1 or a 2 seed in the AFC. That's how good they've been playing. Cincinnati, in a late game, will take on the LA Chargers at the StubHub soccer venue. Bengals are 5-7. Chargers 9-3, coming off a win in Pittsburgh last Sunday night. Denver Broncos at San Francisco. This was a Super Bowl matchup many years ago. I believe the 49ers won it 55-10. The Broncos, though, this year just trying to stay in the playoff conversation. They're 6-6 behind Case Keenum. Remember him? 49ers are 2-10 ever since the Jimmy Garoppolo injury, and Jerick McKinnon has not gone their way this season. Here's the game of the day tomorrow, in my opinion. Philadelphia Eagles, 6-6, reigning Super Bowl champs, at Dallas. Cowboys are 7-5, and if Dallas wins this, I think the Cowboys will be your NFC East winners. If the Eagles win, then hey, we got a lot of things going on in the NFC East, and they'll be right back in the chase. Also, Pittsburgh 7-4-1 at Oakland 2-10. The two worst teams in the NFL are the Bay Area teams, Raiders and Niners. Once upon a time, J-Lo, I know you remember this, the Steelers and Raiders, when they played, it was football fury. I mean, you go back to the 70s, Chuck Knoll once called the Raiders the criminal element with some of the actions of their DBs, and they had a lot of classic playoff matchups. But tomorrow, not as much at stake. I don't think the people in Oakland even want the Raiders to hang around anymore. They probably want them to go to Vegas right now. Also, Detroit's at Arizona. That game will be in Glendale. The Sunday night game, it's a good one. L.A. Rams 11-1 at the Chicago Bears. They're 8-4. Viking fans will be paying attention to that one. And on Monday night, Minnesota 6-5-1 at Seattle 7-5. That'll be a 7:15 p.m. Central Time kickoff from CenturyLink Field in the Emerald City. The forecast calls for 47 degrees and a chance of rain. There's a shock. Chance of rain in Seattle. It's 7:51 here on CCO. Fog, mist, 26 degrees, 7:54. Sports Saturday winding down, the LP edition. There was some college football today. The news not good in Southern Soda at Minnesota State. J-Lo?
That's right, Eric. The Minnesota State Mankato Mavericks did have home field advantage today against Ferris State, but they could not honor that. They lose to Ferris State 42-25. The Mavericks season is over. Ferris State now moves on to the Division II championship game. They will take on Valdosta State, who defeated Notre Dame of Ohio 30-24. That game happening next Saturday in McKinney, Texas, basically at the high school. McKinney Independent School District Stadium is where they're having the Division II championship.
Amazing.
Unbelievable. Division III, Mary Hardin-Baylor, they advance, defeating Wisconsin-Whitewater 31-14 to face the perennial power in Mount Union. Mount Union defeats Johns Hopkins 28-20. They will meet next Friday night in Shenandoah, Texas. At the FCS level, North Dakota State, the number one seed overall in FCS, they move on with a 35-0 shutout over Colgate to face their Missouri Valley rival, Jackrabbits from South Dakota State. The fifth seed went down to Kennesaw, Georgia, defeated Kennesaw State 27-17. That will be a rematch of a week three, four matchups, that North Dakota State won 21-17. And the other side of the bracket, Eastern Washington, the third seed, they score with 26 seconds left to play, defeat UC Davis 34-29. They will host seventh seeded Maine, who last night defeated defeated Weber State on the road in Utah 23-18. One game from FBS today, the annual Army Navy game. That game goes to Army 17-10. They are 10-2 on the season and headed to a bowl game. So a big day for Army. A couple other things real quick. Gopher basketball. Men's basketball wins 72-56 over Arkansas State at home. Gopher women's hockey, they win 5-0 over Robert Morris going into the break. And at intermission, I believe the score for Minnesota men's and Michigan men's hockey, 2-2.
There's a stunner. By the way, intermission for the MLS Cup in Atlanta. It's Atlanta United 1, Portland nothing. Speaking of soccer, Border Brothers, Minnesota United has a new affiliation agreement with Forward Madison FC of the United Soccer League. So Minyu and Madison will team up. That is proof that the states of Minnesota and Wisconsin can actually come together for the good of a common goal. We got to go. This is CCO.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.